All right. Well, listen, I'm going to jump on in here, and I'll just start off by saying I hate to delve into hyperbole or overuse an already overused and somewhat cliched term, but apparently I'm going to anyway. Existential crisis. Ah, there's the term. What is that? What is an existential crisis? Well, liberals use it all the time. We're told that the existential crisis of our time is climate change. Oh, yeah. Even the Biden Pentagon says so. The U.S. military is now being used to fight the existential crisis of our time by putting green energy policies to work. But that's, you know, not a true existential crisis. That's an agenda cloaked as a crisis. A true existential crisis is something that affects the mental and emotional well-being, something that's seen as complex and huge and creates the inner conflicts of anxiety and stress and depression, even despair. The thing that presents itself is so hard to overcome that it will take massive effort that seems at times to be overwhelming. That is what an existential crisis really is, by definition. And climate change, it ain't that. Look, how many people do you know personally that sit around wringing their hands, lamenting and fretting about the questions of whether or not the polar ice caps are going to melt, or the seasons are going to get out of whack? I would say very few. I personally don't know any who are at that deep level of abiding concern over climate change, but what I do see, what I do believe that people really care about, the issue in front of people's very eyes that causes them to get passionate about needing something to be done about it, is our southern border. Mass migrations of people who swarmed our southern borders and came over to drain our resources, strain our politics, and cause whole communities to feel stress and even anxiety. Millions. Literally millions of people whose initial foray into American society was to commit the illegal act of sneaking in. And let's be honest, there might be a whole host of those who have entered the U.S. illegally who are very good people otherwise, right? They might be. Maybe they're good folks, but the fact is, we didn't invite them here. We didn't offer them an open door and say, come on in. I mean, it's as if you're about to sit down to Sunday lunch with your family at your own home, right? And suddenly you find that several strangers have walked in the front door and began eating your children's food, sitting in your grandmother's favorite chair. Where did they come from? How'd they get here? What gall? And if that analogy were real, what would you do? Would you just thank them for showing up and offer them the guest room as well? Not likely. You'd throw them out on their ear or call the police and have them help you. But what if you tried that and they still refused to leave? What if they laughed at you and invited more of their own friends and family to come and eat the food in your house? Well, you would feel frustration. You might feel helpless. You might start considering drastic measures. You might even rightfully fear for your family's safety. And that, my friends, is where we are on the big picture with the crisis at our southern border. And that, my friends, is an actual existential crisis. But Biden doesn't care. He's busy eating ice cream, pretending he's the president, and focused on making us all drive electric cars. He doesn't care. So what to do? Well, President Trump's running for another term, and once again, the Democrats have handed him this issue on a silver platter. And I feel certain that if and when Trump is reelected, that the southern border will be one of the first orders of business for his second administration. And I also feel confident that it will get ugly. It'll get ugly because there's nothing he can say or do that won't already draw fire from liberals who would hate him if he did nothing more than just breathe the same air as them. But Trump will take action, and the question becomes, how much action can he take? Look, I feel certain that the border wall construction will begin again. I feel certain that we will see the end of Remain in Mexico and the end of parole procedures. I feel certain that we will see punitive measures enacted to deal with sanctuary cities. But the real question for me is, how do we actually deport these millions of people? Because that's what Trump said he'll do. The largest mass deportation in world history. And Democrats, I guarantee you, they will scream. They will sue and they will call for impeachment. But we as conservatives, we have to balance our systems of liberty and fairness and due process with the actual existential crisis of millions of lawbreakers who need to be dealt with. But take a look at history, though. In 1942, in the months after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, President Franklin D. Roosevelt issued Executive Order 9066. And by doing so, he ordered the rounding up of over 125,000 residents of Japanese ancestry and sent them all to internment camps. There was fear at the time of a second wave of attacks, whether or not there were Japanese spies living among us. And in Hawaii, they even instituted martial law, and they defined anyone as having over 1/16th of Japanese ancestry as being somebody who ought to be incarcerated. Whole families, whole communities were sent to camps. The problem was that many of them were actually U.S. citizens. And the whole thing became a debacle. It became a blight on our history as we wrongfully impounded people as a knee-jerk reaction to fear. I say that to say this. If we're going to conduct mass deportations of illegals, and I believe we should, then how we do it really matters. We cannot forget our past. We cannot forget our Constitution. There must be actual probable cause, due process, rights of representation, and freedom of choice. I would say that we will likely first see the announcement of deportations and that many of those will self-deport. They'll just be gone. They'll just say, all right, then we're out of here. And they'll self-deport out of concern. And I would think that local and state officials will have to be federally deputized to act within the confines of the law and not just on an executive order. I would expect that known criminals would be locked up and deported to their countries of origin first. And I expect that there will be whole sections of the Department of Homeland Security whose sole job will become nothing but the deportation process. And I suspect there will be sanctions against foreign nations who refuse to receive illegals back. And I also suspect that there will be a need for the president to call for order to avoid citizens taking matters into their own hands. We got to be careful. We cannot afford to slip into a mass incarceration of families. It will be wrong on a human level and devastating on the social and political levels. But in the end, though, there will have to be a means and a methods to send people home who invited themselves to our dinner table and tried to take over our house. Because the border crisis is an actual existential crisis. It is complex, it is huge, and it must be dealt with. Well, I say round them up. But how we do it, though? How we do it is every bit as important as if we do it. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, the reality is, this is big doings, y'all. This is a huge thing. And the fact that we've got millions here who should not be here, well, they're going to have to go. And it's going to have to be one of those things we have to suck it up and recognize as a society. We just have to do it. All ages. And keep the families intact. Find a way to do it humanely, and don't just lock people up and incarcerate them. But y'all, there's going to have to be a plan, and this is not a small plan. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.